Welcome back to Taking Flight. As promised, I am here to talk to you guys today about what I think are one of the cutest birds out there. Today, I will be talking about the bird that kick-started my career in ornithology, the piping plover. During my sophomore year in college, in my ongoing search for research experience, I stumbled across one of my professor's labs, who was recruiting a student research assistant. I immediately jumped on the assignment and was given the very exciting task of watching piping plover nesting videos. I would fill up a data sheet with times of the video where the plover would leave and return to the nest, or when there was an incubation swap between the parents. An incubation swap is when one parent gets up from the nest and the other parent takes over. Besides taking notes on the piping plover's behavior, I would also write down any predators that wander near the nest, such as raccoons, American oyster catchers, a type of shorebird, and on rare instances, coyotes. Some of the nests I viewed were shallow depressions in the sand, lined with pebbles or shells, while some were surrounded by an enclosure. The piping plover is a pale shorebird with orange legs. It weighs around 2 ounces and is about 6 inches long. Breeding adults have a short orange bill, a black crown stripe going across their forehead, and a black neck band. In the non-breeding season, these birds have a black bill, and the black neck band slowly fades to gray. Piping plovers usually forage alone or in small groups, scouring the water's edge for marine worms, small crustaceans, water beetles, and snails. Sometimes they hold 1 foot in front of their bodies and vibrate it in the sand as a wave passes. This might help to bring invertebrates to the surface, where they can easily grab them. Piping plovers breed in 2 different regions in the U.S. One is along ocean shores in the New England region, with Massachusetts having the largest breeding population, about 700 breeding pairs, while the other region is along lake shores, rivers, and alkali wetlands in the northern Great Plains and Great Lakes. While I was watching these plover videos, I would often notice the small shorebirds running alongside each other, as if they were in a relay race. What happened was that one bird would run a short distance, then stop, then the second bird would run a short distance past the first bird, and then stop. They continued this chase until the two birds traveled the length of both of their territories, and then they would chase each other back to their starting point. This is how the adult males delineate territories. Piping plovers are monogamous, which means they only have one set of partners for the breeding season, but males may move on to another female once the breeding season is over. The incubation swaps that the parents do when nesting provide minimal exposure of the eggs to the surrounding environment as possible. And that's a good thing too, because the eggs would make an easy meal for raccoons, skunks, gulls, crows, etc. If a predator does get too close to the nest, the adults try to distract it by pretending to be injured. The piping plover was driven to near extinction around the turn of the century due to extensive hunting for meat and sport. The Migratory Bird Treaty Act, passed in 1918, allowed piping plovers to make a recovery over the next 2 years. This act prohibits the take, which includes the killing, capturing, selling, trade, and transport of protected migratory bird species without prior authorization by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Fenced enclosures have been put up near nest cameras, like the ones I viewed when I was doing my work. The most detrimental predators of piping plovers are humans. Piping plovers arrive on their breeding grounds from mid-March to mid-May and remain there for 3 to 4 months of the year. This puts their nesting and rearing of young right at the peak time of human density on the beach, the summer months. Prior to the pandemic, Oceano Dunes was the only beach in California that allowed off-road vehicle recreation and camping, which attracted both attention and outrage among conservationists. The global pandemic gave plovers the opportunity to recolonize their nesting site at Oceano Dunes in Northern California, beyond their fenced-in protection zone. This particular case focuses on a different species, the snowy plover, but a similar case has happened with the piping plover. State park employers tried to deter plovers from colonizing the new area by kicking up the initial depressions for their nests and placing shiny ribbons sporadically around the beach to intentionally confuse the birds. A recent draft plan has called for opening more areas to off-road vehicles for tourists, including in the bird-sensitive habitat. When the California Coastal Commission learned about the park officials' actions, they included a cease and desist order stating that the state park officials discontinue harming the plover's nests. They lashed out at the park agency for ignoring their own recommendations, which included prohibiting driving on the beaches at night, enforcing the 15-mile-per-hour speed limit, etc. Now, there has been talk about phasing out off-roading completely at Oceano Dunes. The California Coastal Commission, as an extreme measure, can also order the park closed if it continues to violate its own rules. Continuous discrepancies are still going on between the California Coastal Commission and state park officials. Now, if you are listening to this episode and wondering to yourself, what can you do to protect piping plovers? Here are some suggestions. During one of your beach strolls, should you come across a piping plover nest, please report it to Audubon staff or the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I know it seems tempting to snap a photo of a piping plover nest enclosure and caption it on Instagram, but please stay away from nest enclosures and mind the signs that have been posted about plover nests on beaches. Dogs are often perceived as predators to piping plovers, so it is advised that you keep yours on a leash. Human activity near plover nests can attract predators, so if you can, please clean up after yourself and dispose of waste properly. Piping plovers and their chicks find food in algae and use driftwood for protection from predators and as shelter. Therefore, it is advised to leave any algae or driftwood on the sand and not simply toss it back in the water. This sounds very cliche, but together, if we do our part, we can help save this endangered yet adorable little shorebird. That's all the time we have, so I'll see you all next time on Taking Flight.